We've all been warned at some point, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Truly, the warning should go beyond this, as 1 John 4 does when it reads, "Believe not every spirit." There is a belief system out there for anything that your heart desires to believe. There's a wide road that contains many lanes of various types of deception that are all leading to destruction. But there's only one way of truth, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He is the only way to the Father. We must put to the test those things we hear, even if your instinct is to believe it, to be sure that we only follow the Spirit of truth as we learn from God's Word. My name is Pastor Tim Powell, and this is Be Strong in the Grace. Today, we're going to take a look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, which states, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." As we see in this passage, we are not to believe every spirit. There exists a spiritual gullibility with many Christians today that is really quite alarming. And this can come from one side or another. In other words, influence coming from various ways. It's not just, well, these guys are from that way and these. It comes from many directions. We're susceptible to being deceived by those that we share the most perspective or the most bias with. Or in other words, the ones that match our likes or our dislikes the most. And these are likes and dislikes of our flesh, of our personality. And those that match those, we tend to believe them more often. And a lack of Bible truth has left many Christians open to be, as Ephesians 4 states, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And this is a dangerous thing for Christians. With so many voices giving so many different directions that claim to be of Christ, and are even opposite one another, we need to be grounded in God's Word. And so the instruction is first to not believe every spirit. The word spirit, as used here, can refer to a particular person or group of people or an influence that can govern your thoughts or beliefs. We need to be able to believe truth, but we also need to be able to filter out false spirits or false teachers. So the instruction is not to believe every spirit. Instead, we should try the spirits to see whether they are of God. There must be a test that we can apply to see if the message or the influence of a particular source is worth believing. We do this often in society with money. Money can be tested to see if it's genuine or counterfeit. Precious stones or precious metals are put to the test to see if they're genuine. Students in schools are tested to see if they've truly retained knowledge or do they just appear to be getting through the classes and doing well, but they actually aren't learning. We test for that. We test products to see, can they do what they really claim? You see the infomercial and it says it can do all of these different things. We want to put those to the test. And so we must test these spirits, these influences, these people, because as verse 1 states, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets. So we have to put those spirits to the test. Are they of God? Well, how do we do that? How do we test? How do we know? Because they claim to be of God. The old adage for testing money is to know the genuine currency well enough that you'll spot a counterfeit. I've had the opportunity years ago to work in banking for a while, and I can attest that that is true. With currency, especially paper money, most people don't go to counterfeit coins these days, not a lot of profit in that. But with currency, you learn the feel of real money. You can the way the paper feels in your hand, the way it interacts with you, and it's you can tell from that feel whether it's real or not. You learn the tiniest of details that are very difficult to replicate. you apply a special marker that reacts differently if it's a real bill or if it's a counterfeit. You learn the security features, and you use various tools to find those security features. And there's all sorts of tests that you can do with money, with currency, to see if it's real. And it's such a wonderful illustration that of what the Bible's teaching us here, that with these spirits that claim to be of God, we also have a test that we find in verse 2. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And of course, verse 3 follows up, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. We can easily understand as we study this verse that someone using those words, just merely saying the words, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God, is not enough, as this can easily be fake. So we know that the scripture is giving us more than that. A person who's trying to deceive or maybe even legitimately thinks that they represent that statement easily can say those words. And we know from studying scripture that words is not enough on its own. It's a heart condition. And so we have to evaluate what's being said, what's being taught, how they're living their life. And we want to see if it's such a way that reflects that statement, that confession of verse 2. And so first we need to unpack what that statement is, and this will help eliminate many spirits immediately. So the statement, of course, being that every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So we learned several things right there, right off the bat. Number one, that Jesus is Christ, indicating that he is the Son of God. So that's part of that statement, that Jesus is the Son of God. Number two, that Jesus came in the flesh, as we learn in Scripture. And certainly we can see Jesus has come in the flesh, born of Mary and of the Spirit. And so that is an indication that teaching is held true. Number three, that Jesus is the Christ that has come fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. That title Christ is a specific title that deals with the Messiah that was prophesied in Old Testament. And so a true spirit or a non-false prophet, a true prophet of God or true teacher of God, will acknowledge the truth that Jesus is the Messiah that has fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy. Number four, that Jesus being Christ is come as the only way of salvation. When we're talking about Jesus as Messiah fulfilling that prophecy was all about Jesus being the sacrifice, the Messiah being the sacrifice that offers forgiveness of sins once for all. All of the Old Testament sacrifices, in fact, pointed to that one. Those sacrifices weren't enough. You can read Hebrews and study this even in great detail. Those sacrifices had to be done over and over again because they weren't enough. But once Jesus made that sacrifice, he is enough to give the actual forgiveness of sins that they had been pointing to for so long. And so that's part of this statement, that Jesus being Christ has come as the only way of salvation. And then number five, that Jesus is of God, connecting him to John chapter 1, those teachings we learned there, where Jesus is God. And so he's born of flesh, came to this earth, fulfilled the prophecy of the Old Testament in dying for our sins and resurrecting to offer life. But he also is God and always has been and never left that either. And so that eliminates many different people who are teaching that something that they are saying they're about God and that they're of God, but they're not. Eliminates many right there. But there's other groups that this statement would apply to as well. And so we need to consider, secondly, the implication that to confess Jesus is to confess the Jesus of the Bible. In other words, a good test of the spirits is, do they teach Jesus as the Bible tells us of Jesus, or do they teach a different Jesus? Are they teaching the true character of Jesus? Are they teaching the truths that Jesus taught in the way that he taught them, not making up their own interpretation, because the words of the Bible are not open for interpretation for man? God has given us the meaning. Are they teaching the truth as Jesus taught them? Are they overemphasizing one aspect of Jesus over another? So that's an odd one. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. Some people like to focus on certain things about Jesus and leave everything else out. So there's some who will focus on Jesus, for instance, overturning the tables at the temple. You remember this account? Jesus goes into the temple. The money changers are in there. They're selling sacrifices, making profit, and improperly using the house of God. This made Jesus upset, rightly so. And he overturns those tables. He drives out those merchants and proclaims that, you know, that this is not the way that God's house is to be used. You know, God's house is to be the house of prayer. We worship at God's house. We come humbly before him. We don't use it to make money. And so he drives them out. He overturns the table. So there's one group that likes to focus on that. And then there's another group that would focus, well, Jesus ate with sinners. And that seems to be all they can remember about Jesus is that he ate with sinners. And so the one group saying, well, Jesus overturned the tables. We can see that he how angry he was. And they'll use that passage as an excuse for their own anger in themselves or even hatred for people that they don't like or people that are committing sins that they really don't like and they find especially disgusting. And they'll just hate those people all based on, well, Jesus drove them out of the temple or something like that. Or then another group will say, well, Jesus ate with sinners, and so he was okay with their lifestyle, and if Jesus were here today, he would sit down with all these sinners and be approving of their lifestyle. And they use that as an excuse of their own acceptance of or even practice of a sinful lifestyle that they somehow don't not have to exercise holiness within their life. And so they'll emphasize that. Each group will try to point to Jesus while actually being contrary to him. So just the mere words of saying who Jesus is and is not enough. What are they actually teaching about Jesus? Are they truly teaching the Jesus of the Bible, or are they taking him out of context, his words out of context? And it happens so often. We must apply scripture to scripture, getting a look at the totality of God's word, especially about Jesus. We should, as those of the Berean church in the book of Acts did, search the scriptures daily to see if what we are hearing is true or if it's not true according to God's word. Not according to my opinion or my thoughts. I like these people. I like what they're saying. It really appeals to me. That's not enough. Is it true according to scripture? Let us delight in God and in his word and then let him change our desires and change those things about us and not try to be biased by how we think about something. We need to know, what does the Bible say? Are they teaching the truth of Jesus? We must learn to exercise godly discernment, especially as it pertains to the influence we allow in our lives. Just because someone speaks using the name of Jesus doesn't mean they're presenting an accurate picture of Jesus that we know from the Bible. Don't just believe someone because they speak your language. Many people will appeal to an aspect of our flesh, sometimes through emotion, sometimes through intellect, that will make you want to believe them. Political figures do this often. They'll say things that match what we want to be true, and will sometimes take their word for it, though they may be wrong. Listen, the spiritual consequence is even more dire. Some are being told lies that are leading them in their sin to hell, apart from God for eternity. Some who are saved are following belief systems that does not bring glory to God. It does not uplift his true name in this world. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit first to see if you should believe or not. Here's what we should believe. We should believe the unchanging truth of God given in his word. We have what we need to know truth if we but apply it. Remember the great promise of 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at PastorPowellPodcast@gmail.com. That's Pastor Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, podcast@gmail.com. You can also visit our church website at CalvaryBaptistNorfolk.org.